fine. It won't be abstract.
What, philosophy fun? Awesome.
It can be.
It does make it fun.
Jim is not a dry philosopher in many ways. Right. But we have tonight one of my dearest friends, someone who has spoken here in the store quite a few times at this point, done some wonderful work here. She has assisted me in projects that I have done, for which it's something I've been incredibly grateful for. She, of course, many of those of you who don't know of her work knows that she has been in contact with spirit entities since she was a year and a half old. So she has a lot of experience in that realm. She has been a healer for the entirety of her life. She's had a lot to heal. There's even more to heal in the world now. So here we are to learn about the shape-shifting wisdom that Trina is now going to tell us about. Thank you so much, Trina, for coming. Join me, please, in welcoming her in many ways.
Wow. I didn't know if any, with all this weather, thank you all for coming and being here. Hi,
I snuck in.
I'm just so pleased to be here. And every time in the Native tradition is when you go into a home, you bring a gift. And so this gift is a little different this time. This is a giveaway gift. And it's been blessed with a lot of joy. And I'm giving it to you to give to whoever it belongs to. Okay. So that is the gift, the Native American giveaway. So I'm pleased to be here. I'm just so pleased. Drive over here was a little bit crazy since there was an accident, but I just left really early, so it was really, really nice. And tonight my talk is a little different than any of the talks I've been here. So I've been here usually to do a Native talk or an angel talk. And the year of 2016 brought humongous shifts, a lot of chaos, big shifts, but it's almost like needing to go into the eye. So when I ask Creator, what is this about? Why? Why all the shifts? Why the shakeups? And so I was planning my yearly retreat, and it's usually one Native retreat, one angel retreat. And so this one was like, no, no. So I was waiting for the name of the retreat, couldn't. And I just kept seeing it change and change and change. And it took about 3 months for me to put it together that it was a shapeshifter. And then I had to really, and this is going into the beginning of, you know, going back to the beginning of the year. And here we are in December, and I feel like, okay, I have the messages. I have the messages. So perfect time. To do this talk, there's a lot of shifts, and 2017 is going to really be a really good year as long as you're on your path that you need to be. And if it is your path, whatever that is, it doesn't have to be my path, it doesn't have to be just one person's path, it's in your divine path. And when you're on that path, that's when things will just fall into place. There's been many people leaving this year that just could not actually walk on their path. So they have chosen to go home to Creator. And it's a gift to them. It don't feel like a gift to us, but it's a gift to them to go home. And many have done that this year. And I have, on my reservation in Hopland for On Pomo, a young 19-year-old boy that was real heavy bear medicine. And, you know, everybody was like, I just can't wait to see what he becomes. And he's gone. And with that, he's left us a lot of messages. And in all these messages, what I really received was, you know, when I asked Creator, what is my purpose in this year? What is the message to bring out? And so then I heard something that I've kept within me for so many years was the wounded healer. And in Native culture, it's not talked about really. So I just actually in March moved off of my reservation, moved back to where I was raised in Cloverdale, and I feel like whatever I needed to do for the 7 years that I lived on the reservation, it was done. And with that, I learned from what we call our medicine person there. And at first, when I moved there, because I wasn't raised on the reservation, my grandmother was, at first it was a little different because they seen me with Buddhas in my house and then angels and then my native side, and then I dance my native traditional dance. So there were many were saying, who is she? Is she confused? Why is she here? We already have our medicine, that's just one and it's tradition. And it took probably about 6 months for the medicine person to come to my house. And she just came in the door and brought a couple people. She goes, here's my nephew, here's my niece. I'd like you to give them a healing. And, you know, it took a minute, like, And I just said, okay. And gave them a healing, gave them some Reiki and pulled down some angel messages. And then she said, thank you. And a little while later, you know, people started coming through my door with food. And it really took me to the end of the evening when everybody left after hours and hours to really realize what just happened, that that was a marriage of our medicines. And then I was accepted for who I was there. My medicine was accepted. Because once the traditional person that just only practices Native medicine came to me, it was, and there's never words, there's never like, tonight I'm going to come to your house. It's not like that on the reservation. It's a knock at the door, and they just know it's good Creator's timing. And I kind of just sat on the floor and cried because I knew that why I went to the reservation and what was the meaning behind it to bring my medicine there, it happened. And so with that, I got to really learn the way of the reservation because I'm outside of the box. I've always been outside of the box. Never wish to be placed in a box. So the meaning of so many years, like I would just do, when I was a little girl, I was raised in Native tradition with my grandmother. And I always felt like, well, it felt good, but I seen angels my whole life. I seen angels. I heard them. You know, I see colors around people. I see angels. So I just knew I had to open those doors. And through those doors, I just stayed there for a long time. I stayed with the angels and I listened to their messages, and it really helped me through the younger years. And then as I got older, I just started being drawn. I was drawn to the Reiki and then became a Reiki master and then a Reiki master teacher. And I was asked the question, well, what kind of healer are you? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. And today, I know I'm a healer. I don't have to be in any particular place. And the person in front of me, if the angels want to give a healing, if that person needs Reiki, if that person needs native medicine, then so be it. To all know that, you know, we don't have to be in any box. We don't have to be in any particular shape. So I now consider myself a shapeshifter healer. And, you know, I went to school, did years and years of study, and when I went to the reservation, they're like, I see on your card you use PhD. And I'm like, yeah. They said, natives, we don't do that. So I really got to humble myself, and I dropped the title because I was taught on my reservation that titles are nothing. When Creator brings you here for a purpose, for a reason, and mine is to be the wounded healer. And through a wounded healer, so I asked, I really pulled down messages for this talk. And it was so noisy all night. I could tell you, I probably slept less than 30 minutes. And it was the message of the wounded healer and how and who. There's so many of us walking this earth that are wounded healers. And in the native, when I was told by my grandmother, she said, you know, when you come here as a healer, you first have to heal. And, you know, I was raised by my grandmother and have a long story of I was left in the hospital at my birth. My mother had two before me, five after. And I was pretty hurt. They were raised in the same town, a couple lanes over. And my birth mother called me many, many things that was not so nice. And she's on the other side now, and I can say, I just love her. If she was in front of me today, I would just say, I get it. You're just too wounded. And at that time, chose not to go through the healing process, because when you choose the healing process, it's uphill. It's a long time for me. And it took me to be about 40, 45 to say, I'm okay with who I am. I'm okay. And through that time, I did a lot of healing with the angels, with ascended masters, my native way, coming here. When I first started retreats, years and years and years and years ago, something made me journey in here, and then it was, it was like a tradition with me and my very best friend that now is on the other side as well. We'd come here and we'd laugh because we'd like, we don't know what we want. We're just going to pick up something from many rivers to take to the retreat. And sometimes it would be music. Sometimes it would be a new deck of cards that everybody got to share, and they knew that it was special, it was for them. It was always something. And then I got to meet these beautiful people here, and they're my family, and I love this place. I have friends from Florida that I have them order their book cards, their book stuff from here, just because I told them it's the energy. And like Willis even said that, yeah, when you go in there, it's a great place to be. So here I am tonight talking about some things that are really not talked about in a Native American culture. That I even wrote a little bit of notes about. And I think I brought on one. Yeah, I brought some copies if anybody of the one of the Wounded Healer. And it's just a one page, really simple, and so simple, but I've got to put on my glasses. So I'm going to start on the other page. And I'm going to just read this. So in ceremonial context, excuse me, of indigenous North American communities, medicine usually refers to a spiritual healing, a practice that is very common in a large number of Native American homes. The term medicine people or ceremonial people are sometimes used in Native American homes. The knowledge possessed by medicine people is privileged and it often remains in particular families. And like on the reservation in Hopland, they still are really in the old ways. And the old ways is you would never go on the reservation and say, where's your medicine person? Because they'd be very offended. If you knew who it was and you asked for her, they would take you to her. But if you just asked about it, they'd be very offended. Because it's almost like in the Pomos, it's you don't talk about it. You don't brag about it. You don't make business cards about it. And so that's the special person that I hold in my heart, because when I left, she's like, you need to take your medicine out. And she is a very powerful, but she only heals the Native way and has gifted me many methods to assist people. Native Americans tend to be quite reluctant to discuss issues about medicine or medicine people. In some cultures, the people will not even discuss these matters with natives from other tribes. In most tribes, medicine elders are prohibited from advertising or introducing themselves as such. The Apaches look at these cords as so sacred that strangers are not allowed to ever see them, much less handle or talk to them. Well, non-native anthropologists sometimes use the term shaman for indigenous healers worldwide, including Americans. Shaman is a specific name for a spiritual mediator in Siberia, and it's not used in Native Americans, not with Pomo. And the term medicine man or woman has also frequently been used by Europeans, and it really refers to African traditional healers, along with the offensive term witch doctors. So, as a Pomo woman, elder, and grandmother, I'm a spiritual healer. I don't use the term medicine woman because I don't just practice Native. And the wounded healer, I'm a Native American spiritual healer and elder. I'm a grandmother to 18 grandchildren, and I have practiced spiritual healing my whole life. I have incarnated in this lifetime to first heal myself and then heal others. Heal, healing, healer. It's the only order you can go in. My past will no longer equal my future, and my healing has been profound in a difficult journey. My healing roots are very deep due to the strong winds that I have experienced and my deep wounds that I have healed in this lifetime. I was once broken, and through my spiritual healing journey, I have put myself together again, and through the cracks I have been broken are now where my powerful light of healing energy from Creator enters my soul. The light is a gift to share with those that have not yet healed, or to assist others to heal. And it gives just a little explanation to who I am and why I'm here and why I continue to walk this journey while others leave. Because for many years, seeing angels and listening to past loved ones, I really felt confused. And thank goodness we're in a time that younger people now growing up don't have so many closed doors to go through. Because with my generation, I think Sylvia Brown was one of the ones that really kind of opened doors for people, because she just didn't care. So I would go see her many times, not to get a reading, but wherever she was giving a talk. And because it was like the first person I looked at to saying, I'm not so strange. I'm there's got to be a reason that I'm here. And so the angels, you know, when I was seeking, okay, what do I do with the angels? That was my first shape shift. So I went to Doreen, because at that time, Doreen Virtue, you'd start hearing her a little bit. She kind of got on the wings of Sylvia Brown, and then she had a book. And so I went to Laguna Beach and spent a week and was certified by her. And we actually, she's one awesome person. She's very humble, and she's a wonderful healer, an angel healer. So I teach all of her classes, and I see that these wonderful cards, and you know, this deck here holds such wonderful messages if you ever want to begin with angels. And you know, and now I've kind of, this has been my next one, because it has, now that I know that I understand tarot a little bit, this has a blend of tarot and angels. So, very powerful cards. If you're looking for healing, if you're trying to heal something, Archangel Raphael cards are great just to pull a daily message and healing. And, you know, these cards to me, they're like my palm of my hands. I know them all. And every time she has a deck, I'm like a child at Christmas, like, ooh, I get to learn even more. And, you know, she's contacted me, Doreen has, and said, if you come up with more archangels, will you tell me? So, because when I was in the class, I kept getting this angel, Angelica, come to me, and I asked her about it. She's like, can I write about it? And I'm like, I don't think yet. But because I go, I notice there's no angel that comes up with red energy. And she's like, no, I've never seen that. And I said, do you think that's wrong that an angel should have red energy? And she's like, no. And then once Angelica showed herself to me many times, she's an angel of passion. And of course that would have red. It's blood, it's passion. And then through my journey, when I was trying to find native messages, and tonight I'm going to be gifting some native messages and native healing to those with my medicine here that I hold sacred there for those that choose, because I got a strong message that it might not be for everybody, so it's a choice. But if you're looking to get really strong, but I just feel right on native messages, this deck is completely awesome. It's called Native Spirit by Denise Lynn. Oh, wait a minute. Is it by her? Yep, Denise Lynn. But they have really powerful. And don't get, you know, if you use these cards because you feel that you're drawn, and I ask for everybody that's here that came tonight to have that in them, the native path. And it doesn't mean that you're walking this lifetime in native shoes, but it means your spirit is, which places you as native. There's many people that are not born in a bloodline we call here to be from a tribe, but they're more native than some people that I've met at my tribe. So we honor those people because our spirit remembers who we were in past lifetimes. So really powerful cards and a powerful way of being. So I've always used sage all my life growing up that I remember. But for Pomo, you will use this root. And this root is very sacred. And if only an elder can get this, or a male, an elder woman or a male. Because as long as you're still having your cycles, you're not allowed to go pick this medicine. And this medicine is only taking it's up from the roots. And I tell you, to get somebody to tell you, ask where it's at, nobody will ever tell you. I got a lot of laughs and saying, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll take you sometime. And then I'm like, oh, I got really excited in the beginning. And then when I was there in year six, I'm like, oh, it's like, I don't think it's happening. So I do have a person now that took me to a place. So it is sacred. And so I could pass this around. And when you smell it, it just really, really is very healing. The only ones, I mean, if anybody is actually on their cycle, please don't touch it. So this is what we use for even deeper. Oh, feathers flying. Feathers are flying. This medicine we use for deeper healing and ceremonies and dancing around the fire. They use that and it burns. It's not easy to burn, so you kind of got to blow on it as it to keep it going. And then the smoke of that goes up and over you.
What's the name?
It's Angelica root is what we call it. You won't find it under that. It's got a very healing scent to it. And kind of reminds me a little bit of celery. Mm-hmm. You know, got that smell. But I'm sharing it. And you go to reservations and you would not really be able to have somebody share it because these are tools and because I am a little outside of the box. But I always ask permission from above, and the permission was yes, I can. So I brought that to share that I have never shared before. So does anybody have any questions that they would like to ask? Oh, she's just going places with it.
It reminds me of a smell when I was a little girl.
Oh,
a certain kind of
bringing something back.
Well, it was a certain cookie that I would eat at my grandma's, and it was a store-bought cookie. It wasn't homemade, but it was a certain blend of, it was a very simple store-bought cookie that was common in those days, and a blend of certain spices, you know, and I've never been able to taste that in another cookie, but somehow I expected to smell celery, but what I smelled was that.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So you got your own healing scent out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because to me, I would never pull cookie out of it.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So it must be something that you need,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That medicine that you need from inner child,
mm-hmm.
to gift you that.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yes.
Well, I have a question about angels. So if you do classify archangels different than regular angels, for lack of a better word, how would you describe that?
Well, there is the earthly angels that that are fairy people, tree people, really close to earth. They just have a, you know, I know they're called fairies to me. They're just another realm of angels. And then there's the everyday angels that are just piles and piles of angels. And then if you go higher, closer to Creator, there's the archangels that oversee the everyday angels and oversee the fairy angels and the fairy realm. And the leader of all the archangels is Archangel Michael. Do I see Michael out there? I don't see Archangel Michael. And Archangel Michael his name stands as he who is like God. I don't use the God term, but it would be creator, because I feel that. And then if you go to other countries like India and Ganesha and you know, Lakshmi, and when I've talked to on my angel site, I have a couple people from India, they're like, you know, these are our angels. We don't see angels with wings. And if you go to, like, a part of my family are Christians, they may be the only ones that I know of that don't really talk about angels. But almost all the religions, some way or another, have angels. And angels are very powerful, you know, they're messengers. To me, they're messengers to Creator. And it's like, well, if you went to Washington, D.C., and you were wanting to go to the president, that might be difficult. But if you had people that worked all around, and they were to take your powerful message up to the top, that's how I see angels with Creator. And I see angels around people. Some people come with at least two, three, and real angel people come with just many of them. And angels give you what's called free will. They'll hang out, they'll be by you, but unless you ask for their assistance, they give you the free will of not helping you out. And it's a gift to you, because they need your permission. Unless it's something like, you hear the stories of, I was on the freeway and all these cars hit into each of them, my car just seemed like it got pushed against the side. If it's not your time to leave, they will intervene on your behalf. But everyday things, they will wait for you to ask. And I promise, if you ask, you will see. We were raised in a time, I know people around me used to always say, seeing is believing. And I really feel we learned a lot of things in reverse here. You know? Because when you believe, you see. If you wait to see to believe, that's when people like, show me in a book. There's no book that's gonna make you believe. And I was raised with, there's two things that we had in our house that my grandmother figured that she might as well have something that was store-bought. One was Vicks Vapor Rub, and one was just white petroleum Vaseline. And those were the only two medications that I ever known that we actually bought from a store. But my grandmother took me to a doctor, but to this day, I'll be 60 in March, and I have a doctor. I go to see him every now and then. But, you know, even the times that I was sick, he'd write a prescription, he'd go, here, something to carry around in your purse. Because I always said, well, I'm not closed. If I ever truly, truly needed something, I'd take it. And it's kind of like that. There's a story of a box, and it was passed on from generations to generations. It was kind of a side story of a God box, but it was a box where it was passed down from traditions, and they say, never open this unless it's your very, 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 very last hope that you have in the whole world. And usually the box followed generation to generation because it was never opened. That's kind of how I feel with medication, but I really believe that if I could dig and heal what is truly the symptom, then I don't need medication. But if I ever needed medication, I would be okay with taking it. Because I have. It's not like I never have. But it's like the only time that I ever got the flu was the only one time in my life that I took the flu shot.
Exactly.
And my doctor said, so why'd you take it? And I said, well, the bank where I worked at said I could have 2-hour lunch. He goes, well, now you get a week off. So I just kind of learned with that, you know, we learn things. You know, I see the people that are raised around, here's a pill, here's this, here's that. And especially here in America, we spend billions of dollars on depression medication when we really need to dig and find what is holding us down, because depression is a gift. And as I that was one of my shifts into this person that felt like I was so depressed I didn't want to stay here. And that was in my 30s. And you know, first thing, you know, they want to give you is, here, this will make you happy. And I was thinking, a happy pill? What does a happy pill do? So I, you know, because I was really, it was, you know, during 9/11, when 9/11 happened, I just went into a big hole. Because I just remember the one time when I was just knew I was going through another shift in life. 9/11 happened. And I remember the story, I don't know if anybody else remembers, but where somebody called in as a hoax and said they found a whole group of firemen and they're alive. And so all their families ran down and then they were lying. And to me, it was just unbearable to think of. I just kept thinking, what is that? The hope that the family got. And then to get there to find out, oh, somebody just calling. And so I was given the opportunity at that time in my life to heal from depression, and it had to do with a lot. I mean, with depression comes anxiety, with anxiety comes panic attacks. It's just a whole ball of lessons together. And, you know, as a wounded healer, you get the gift of many different things to heal in your life. And I feel I'm very gifted at this age. Very, very gifted. And I'm always saying, you know, when I wrote that contract and came here, yeah, I should have probably, like, erased a few things. Yeah, just a few, you know. But then, you know, my grandmother taught me. She said, when you're done with all your lessons, you go home. So I just know that my lessons now, without ego attached, because ego would say, oh, poor me, or something in the universe is trying to make me suffer. And now I know, no, I recognize it, and it's never that big, huge hill anymore. It's a bump in the road. And that's what I've learned, that we have bumps in the road. And as people from here where we are, right now, through the shakeup, and I just have to say it, you know, our country really needs healing. So all of us that are healers really need to put that out to the universe, because, you know, we had the 9/11, and we have these times that these group of people contract to do things in a group, like the 9/11. Like the big things that happen, because what happens is Creator says, that's how you guys come together. That's how you guys all come together. And I feel that that's what the time is now. And I call it the gathering of healers, the gathering of shapeshifters. And so if you're a healer and you're like, why did I come here to heal? What? Don't try to place yourself, because you may be a shapeshifter that came here to do many things. I have a daughter-in-law that says, well, you know, I want to start my healing soon as I just fine-tune of what exactly it is. And I still just smile at her, because she'll get it. Because you can't force it. You got to allow everybody the opportunity to open doors. And that's how it is. It's like a house of 100 doors, and if you start opening too many at one time, you're going to feel really confused. But if you just gently open doors when they're ready, you'll see that we're all came here for to work together. And there's no one healer that has all of it. And what I call, as now as I teach classes, is I gather healers to come together, because when I teach them, they teach me. Especially the younger group that come in, they're coming in more open, more knowledgeable, not having to have such big, huge lessons to open doors. So that is what I came here to talk about, and the angels asked me to bring that message. And so if you feel confused on what you came here to do, some people write music. Some people write poems. They're all healing this universe. Some people are here to counsel others. Some people are here hands-on. They do massage. And that's where we are. And, you know, there's teachers that go to heal little kids. And, you know, when I'm not practicing this healing, I work in a really harsh environment 4 days a week of when children are taken out of their homes from CPS. I work with the child and the family to try to get them together again. And when that happens, it's just so wonderful. And then there's those times when you have to say, this parent in this lifetime is just not getting it. And then you have to find them the best home you can. And with that is my gift with children, because I will go to them, and as long as they're old enough, I will tell them, I'll be your voice, I'll fight for you. What do you want? What do you want? Because that's what kids, they forget to tell kids. And that's why conscious parenting to me, when this lovely man here brought that idea, it was like, yes! That's when we need to just guide them so gently, because some people feel that children are here and they belong to us, and they're only here to learn from us. We're only here to guide children. We're not here to own them, or they're our possession. We do the best we can, and our job is to allow them to be able to fly free and to be the person that they came here to be. And I just, you know, you have so much energy that comes from, it's like, I call it that golden energy, and they're just, your guides are being really noisy. So I'm just saying that you can, what do you do right now?
Right now I am working in the marijuana industry, but I went to school for teaching, so little kids, elementary teacher.
You have a lot of magical energy, like leprechaun energy around you, so that works really well with children.
I love little kids. They're my passion, the like 4 to 6 age range.
And just know that you've got a lot of magical energy around you. And see, that's another thing that it's another shape shift into the magical realm, because as little kids, we're gifted like this is magical, Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy. And then what do? They just like drop, well, it wasn't true. And this world, this universe is magical, but you got to find it. If you ever seen a little flower come up from a cement, and what that flower would have thought if you were the flower and said, okay, this is your job. You're going to be underneath the cement, and you got to find a way to come up. And then just open your flower and just here. Those are all miracles, and they're all magical. And we live in a very magical world. We live in a world that if you be careful with your words and you put out to the universe your intentions in a positive way, so shall they be. I've learned, that was the hardest lesson to learn. Because I was the one in my 20s saying, really? What else? And so Creator would go, oh, you need something else. Okay, here you go. And if I could teach that one thing to everybody, that put out to the universe what you want to mirror right back at yourself. And I tell you, if you feel like you're having trouble with money, open your purse and give away everything that you have in there. It's what I do. And guess what? Creator's like, oh, okay, so you can give with the open heart. So how about receiving? I just had this conversation at work because somebody just said, you know, there's this woman that we don't really know who she is, but her daughter created some chaos and they kicked her out, and here she is by Christmas, and she was talking to me and she goes, if I could just get a Christmas tree for my 14-year-old son because he's still young. So they were talking and I said, oh, wait a minute, let me go see. I had $22 in my purse and I said, I'll give this. And they're like, oh, you want to do a card? I'm like, no, no, no. And they go, oh, we're the same way. We're going to go get trees and lights and whatever. And I, okay, this is my contribution. And the next day, all three of us are sitting in there and our employer just surprised us with this bonus out of the blue. And I'm like, you see, this is the magic of the universe. Because when you fear that lack, that's exactly what you're going to mirror to yourself. It's a shape-shifting moment. And we get many of them. You really shift when you lose somebody. And I got to lose my oldest sister. Got to lose my best friend that used to... I remember the first talks that I gave her. I'm like, I can't do it. I'm looking at the window. I see people. And she would just kind of shove me in the door here. And she would sit back there, and it would be like my calming. And then when she left, I'm like, oh, I can't do this no more. And right before she left, she said, then my time with you meant nothing. And boy, I was like, whoa, okay. Okay, I get it. So my voice to you is, whatever shape you're in right now, whatever shift and whatever shape, if it's working with the angel, if it's writing poems, if it's music and songs, if it's you have shifted and you have a loss of somebody, wherever your shape has turned you, learn all you can about it. And then once you get that gift, you get to shift again. And you're going to learn, and you're going to learn. And I don't, you know, every class that I get, I just love the young ones that come to me, and they're like, we just want to learn from you. And I just smile because I'm like, wow, if you guys only know what I learned from all of you. Because powerful healers are coming at a very young age, and there's so many of us in so many directions and so many, you know, diverse methods. And, you know, before when I first, you know, 20 years ago even, when people would go, okay, you do this healing and this healing and this healing, and don't you think that's confusing people? I was told that. And then I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I should just pick one. Maybe just the angels. But I've been pushed out of the nest so many times, and that's my gift. And I was going to do a meditation, but I want to give a message. And so there's a message in this native deck of cards for everyone. Is everybody open to a message?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, I thought, oh, you came to pick the card? Thank you.
Oh.
Well,
I did, yeah. All right.
Thank you. Divine messenger. Wow, nothing like going to the top. Woo! Wow. Eagle medicine. into the native culture, this is like high, strong medicine. So I'm going to pass this card around while I read it. And then the gift is, if each person that chooses, because it's always a choice, would say, how does that pertain to you right now? So, profound connection, and that is to Creator. Whatever you call Creator is perfect. If you call Source, Creator, God, the rock outside, all the same energy. All Buddha, everything to me. When we all go to the other side and learn that, oh, we are so much the same, regardless what your beliefs were growing up. There's no right way. There's no wrong. As the eagle soars high above the earth, it has ability to see things from a higher perspective. Courage is being asked of you right now. From a higher perspective, courage and stamina is filling your life. You have the ferocity to right injustice and wrongs that have been done to you or others. This is a time to face fear and overcome it. So it has a part of what your spirit wants you to know. So I'm going to give that message from above. Your spirit wants you to know that you are perfect exactly how you are. And the medicine that you hold is perfect to this universe exactly how you know it. And it's really time for you to take big steps. And there's some here that I hear haven't voiced their medicine. And now it's time to take that shift. You have eagle medicine. This opportunity to truly see life from a vantage point. Eagles are considered one of the most sacred birds in many tribes. So, you know, eagle feathers are illegal to have unless you are native. And I know, like, if they find a bird that's an eagle and it died, they will call people to come pick it up and put it on your reservation. Now, eagle feathers are never to be yours. You're never supposed to acquire them because you want it. The only time you get an eagle feather is if somebody gifts it to you in our Pomaway. And then it's a huge gift. Again, I learned that in my 20s and 30s. Like, we're going to get an eagle feather because, you know, I'm native. I want one. It was just like the Angelica root. Oh, okay. We'll let you know. Their single-minded fierceness, dynamic energy, and ability to soar high are part of the reason. This card reminds you to take heart and face any fear. You do indeed have the strength to overcome any adversity. You have a direct line to Creator. Your prayers are heard and will be answered. So this is about a journey of where you are in your powerful journey. So does anybody want to give a few words on how this relates to where they are right now?
I have a background in archaeology, so I'm writing. I haven't written anything, done any work in archaeology explicitly for quite a few years, like 15 years. But work I did back when sort of started a little subgenre of the investigation of sexuality in archaeological contexts. So I was asked to do a preface for a new book called Queering the Past. And I was trying to write it, You know, some stuff was coming. I had a few pages, but it just didn't seem to gel. Then after to change your phrase, the bump in the road, the trump in the road happened. I realized I had to change. I had to come at it from a different angle, and articulate my deepest aspirations, because I came into archaeology with an intention not just to study the past, but to create powerful contexts for people to move into the future in liberating ways. So so I'm writing this preface now as a reminder to colleagues who are now continuing this work that I helped start, and I'm no longer active in it, to remind them of the enormous possibilities present, which I think many of them do know, but also the responsibility of it in this time. So that message resonates for me in that way.
Powerful.
Well, what it makes me think of is, I work in a bird store, so, you know, there's a fondness I have for birds, and a few years back, a sort of spiritually minded friend did some sort of reading for me, and she said, you know, don't just play around with, like, little chickadees and titmice. Be a big bird. Be an eagle. And so I do have a little totem in my kitchen to remind myself that the eagle aspect is alive and well, too.
Wow. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
It is powerful. So thank you for reminding me.
Willis, no thoughts on that? What's your thoughts?
Can I read that again? I'm sorry. I have a visual thing. Is my okay if I touch your book?
The card, is the card going around? Maybe if you look at the card. Because I, you know why?
Okay, that's okay.
I don't want anybody to read from here. Mm-hmm. I want you to hear or feel.
Yeah, I have difficulties with that, but thank you. I don't know. Ego medicine to me. Thank you.
It's okay to speak what works for you, right? Well, he's reading that. Does anybody else have anything to share?
I just felt inspired. I wanted to do this for a long time. I started a Facebook page called The Angel Project. And I've always been interested in angels, and I've always felt them and heard them, but I never allowed myself to really fully engage with it. And I made one post on there about an experience I had. But then I've been kind of like, afraid to play. I don't want to be like the moderator who the one is posting all the time, and I want other people to participate. But then I realized I need to do that now. I need to guide it through until it forms enough energy to attract other people. I can't expect to make one post and have everybody that likes it chip in.
Well,
so
you
I'm
know.
Thinking, why not? I'm calling it the Angel Project because I really want it to be about angels, but I'm afraid that people will say, you know what I'm saying? So I made it about people doing, it's supposed to be documenting acts of everyday kindness.
So why do you feel you can't use the word angels because you worry about what? Because the people that won't be on that site that will say, oh, angels, I don't know, then it's okay. They could choose another site. But the people that really need, and the reason I'm telling you is I had that feeling because I was like, Facebook, I don't get this Facebook. A lot of people post food and a lot of people, And then I thought, well, I was just out of a little whim a couple years ago. I'm like, I'm going to just start an angel group. And so I did this little site, and I put in three angel healers that I know. And here a couple years later, I mean, it's up to 85 people, and I know that's not a lot, but from where it started, I never did say, oh, you want to join the site? You want to join the site? It was like, people have come to me, or somebody will see it, and it's closed group, and they want to be a part of it. And I have people on there from India and Africa, and that I'm like, I don't know how, but I always place it out to the universe. Because I'm not a marketing kind of person. I always felt that if you're humble, you don't need that in, you know, because I tried it and it didn't work for me. It felt like there was this false Trina walking, and when somebody I paid to do my marketing, they said, well, you need to have a wine and cheese. And I'm like, angels, wine and cheese. And I'm like, but then you get the right people. And I'm like, with wine and cheese and angels.
I
read
wine and cheese.
You know? And it just didn't fit. And I paid them like $1,500 to tell me that. And I was like, and so I'm like, hey, well, so I do it my way, where I go in front of my altar every morning, light candles and pray, and say, Creator, angels, whoever you need to bring my way, bring them. And guess what? They come. And that's how I've been practicing my healing. I would just love to see you with an angel sight. Do you have any of
no,
these
cards? I want those angel cards.
You need to
I
get
have my eye on them.
Yeah. I've been looking at them. Because it's a baby step to like saying, and I bet you see that you have angel wings that can fly really soon. And you're very welcome to be a part of my closed angel sight, so you can start posting on there. Because it's people wait. They're just like, I will let a week go by and not post anything saying, okay, you guys, all right. And they're like, well, we're waiting for you. And I'm like, you know, my angels and your angels are the same angels. And I really have it as a clear sight. Like, I don't let them post any ads, or I'll take them right down and tell a person no. And I've had people get angry. I'm like, I just want it to be, if you painted an angel picture, put it on there. If you have a message to give, give the message. But if you're like announcing some other thing, that, then don't, because we can do that on regular Facebook. So you're very welcome, and I'll give you that information to be a part of. But those pink cards, but you have a lot of goddess in you. Have you been attracted to goddesses around the world? You have a lot of energy. I see it just changing shapes around you. And you know, those are angels. Does he have? Oh, yes, you do. I would suggest this is angels, all the archangels, but some of these goddesses you're going to read. Because some of them are native goddesses, some of them from Africa, some of them all over the world. And they have really profound feminine messages. And Dori Virtue is just awesome with her messages. The reason I love her so much is every deck of card I get from her are messages that I truly have. I mean, I've seen angels. The reason I know I was 18 months old is we moved from this one house. And I told my grandmother, you know, before she left, bedroom's here when you walk in the door. My crib was right there. And she's like, we left when you're 18 months old. And I'm like, yeah, and there was angels everywhere. So that's why I know that at least to, you know, 18 months. Mm-hmm. But nobody's ever closed my doors. And that's what we do to small children. We're like, you're not, nobody's there. And they start closing doors. Because we're all open, just somewhere along the line, you've come in and you've heard, oh, you can't do that. Or, oh no, that's an imaginary person. And you're going to get old enough to know those are just your imagination. It's not real. I don't know how to tell anybody, but I've seen angels. They're real. they don't look exactly with the halo and the, you know, I could see like a sparkle above them, but it's just a shimmer of different light. But I could tell you when, which angel is around. Their energy, I know their energy, I know the color of them. And angels love sparkle. You ever want angels around, like sparkle anything, like your sparkle there? It just brings, they're just like, oh, and music. Music. I love music. So just keep those doors open. I would love to see your site started. I'd be over there waiting to hear your angel messages. Yeah, you know. So what did you get from there?
A couple messages. This card reminds you to take heart and face fear. And then you have the capacity to channel extraordinary life force energy through your hands. So I felt that for like 4 years now. I literally feel the energy flowing through my arms and hands. And I don't talk to a lot of people about it. And I became a Reiki master 2 years ago. And I kind of fell off with my sister's passing. And I don't know, I guess the fear of failure is a big part of that. Me not like talking about it, me not practicing. So, yeah, this card speaks to me deeply.
Remove that fear, because you feel that energy through your hands. Don't ever doubt it. Don't, and you know, sometimes we're gifted with those really harsh life experiences to be able to go out to the world and say, okay, wow. I mean, when you face death of somebody, I just, everything else just seems easy. And, you know, we've all had that. You know, I mean, those first talks here. I remember the first time I gave an angel class, and I was like, everybody's like asking me these questions, and I just wanted to go, I don't know, I don't even know why I'm here. Because I got just so blank, like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You know, this is only supposed to be in my house and behind. Kind of like where you know what you're saying.
That blank feeling.
Blank feeling. Yeah. And when I opened my first healing center years ago in Cloverdale, because Cloverdale is so not Sebastopol.
I know.
Cloverdale. And I was raised there and keep leaving, and I just keep coming back, and now I know the reason is like you gotta keep opening doors there. And the first time I had a little healing center, some people would cross the street, walk over, and then come back. And then there'd be some people that would open the door and be peeking in. I'm like, I have no black pot in here that I'm stirring. Come on in. And but it wasn't my time to keep it open because I had too much fear attached. Because I'm like, I can't let go of my real job. And now I know it's not a job. It's what I came here to do. And then there's the whole part that took me many years to learn, is to have an energy exchange of money for doing what we do. Because I wish I was in the time that I could say, I'm a healer, come get healing, let's trade sugar for flour. But unfortunately, my landlord won't do that. So we live in a time where there's this money, and it for so many years I lacked money for everything because my relationship was it. I was raised by my grandmother. That my grandmother said, never wish for money, never ask for money, never place money is the enemy. And that's how she was raised, because she came from the reservation and seen that people pushed them off the reservation that had money, and then it was all about money. So I get why it took so many years to really, and I mean, it to the point where I'm just learning to take money in my hands and here, look at where I'm at. And I no longer call it money or cost. So if I say energy exchange, mm-hmm. It feels right to me. Like there's just this exchange, because money is just paper. But we have to have it in this time of life where we are. Anybody else? I just see so many angels behind you. Do you have a relationship with angels? You have a lot of angel energy around you. Really earth angel energy. And you know, I know that title seems like, but Doreen Virtue has Earth Angel. It's a little bitty book. And when I first read it, I was like, oh, that's me. And I can spot, and so just take a look at it. Take a look at the book and see what you feel. And so what kind of healing do you do now?
Food? Music, my friends, my family. Just remembering to breathe.
Food's important. That's why you don't see skinny natives. We celebrate everything with food, and we just do, and it's just what it is, and it's just our culture. But food, because we feel food is medicine, so like when we have a meeting and it's a tough meeting, we start it with food, because it's one thing everybody, and we always pray over our food, so it's something that you could gather together. Now, when you say food, is it that you, it's food that you make? That,
yeah.
What kind of food?
All kinds. I mean, whatever I'm craving. What kind of food do I make?
I don't know. She bakes, she cans. Everything.
Homemade noodles.
Salads.
And a can. I mean, that's been lost for so long. I was raised by my grandmother that I used to go, why can't we have fruit out of a can? My friends do. They get to open a can. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah, just maybe touch bases with angels, because you could use that with food too, and blessing food. And Archangel Haniel, read about her. And moon cycles are really, really strong and powerful for you. So watch the cycles of the moon, because when there's a full moon, you just want to go. And when it's a new moon, sometimes people don't understand you because you're in your cocoon.
I've definitely made a shift to the new moon as far as next moon. The first app I ever put on my phone was the moon.
That's my native name, is Lashklay. Lashklay is white moon. So I recognize that energy in you. But Haniel is the archangel of moon energy. Does anybody have any other questions?
I don't know. For me, this past year, I lost my husband of 33 years. Died in April, 12 days after my brother died. And my husband and I had two daughters who were in their 20s. And since then, it's been just such a day-to-day journey of just so many things. But kind of, I guess the way I relate to the eagle is, it's almost, I feel like on top of everything, I've just needed to kind of hold together a lot of things, kind of from a certain perspective, from a certain, like, looking broadly, kind of. And it's hard to explain, but it really has, because for me it hasn't been a thing just of grieving, because there's been many, many things I've had to take care of. For my brother and for my husband, finishing up a lot of things of theirs, as well as figuring out everything from my life, and also supporting and guiding and, you know, just being there with my daughters as well too. And I don't know, somehow with the eagle, it's like I think of just something about having to have a broad perspective and work with a lot of difficult things at once. It's really been a strenuous journey this year.
For many.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year has been... I've had so much hurt in this year, and I keep having to go and remember all the tools that I need to make it through. And I'm ready to bless this year goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And really open up to 2017. But remember, 2016, in numerology, it's a 9. And 9 is all about endings.
Mm-hmm.
Endings and endings and endings. And so next year is all about beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember that as you exit out of this rest of this month, keep releasing. And, you know, you're just in the beginning stages of grief and mourning, and just allow yourself to be in a soft place, because that's a difficult place to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to stay here on this earth, you know, and the journey home is the beauty for the person leaving. But so who's the one? Was it the brother or your husband that just, they keep showing me plaid and plaid shirts and blue?
Well, plaid shirts would more likely be my brother. Both he and my husband wore blue, though. They both...
That blue, lots of blue, different shades of blue is what they're just showing me over and over and over.
My husband's favorite color was blue.
Okay, so...
My brother wasn't the type to really say what his favorite color was, but he liked blue, but he had more plaid. He was... It's unusual because he was 19 when I was born. He was a sophomore at Stanford University when I was born, and we're the only two of our two parents. Our two parents married when my mom was 21, my father was 25, and then my mom had my brother when she was 25 years old, and she had me when she was 44, and absolutely no children or pregnancies in between. And then my father died 9 months after I was born. But my brother was already an adult. He was a college student when I was born. So it's always been different than how many people think of a brother-sister relationship.
So just know how close they are. Even though they're gone, they're close. Because that's why they're showing me blue and plaid,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
they just want you to know they're around you.
Oh,
You know, because it's difficult, especially when you're in a place where you are right now. But loss for 2016, I've had more people come to me this year, new people, through loss and mourning of a loved one than anything. And so it's like, and there's just been a lot of even young that doesn't
mm-hmm.
make sense all the way, just
mm-hmm.
There's just,
mm-hmm.
all you have to do is turn on the TV, right?
Yeah.
And just see people leaving, and for crazy reasons. And that's why it takes all of us together to put that out to the universe and to place that piece. And as Trump takes office, I guess there's just no other way to say it. You know, it's a lesson for all of us of what we don't want, and it'll help us come together for what we do want and what we do appreciate. So for some reason, Creator gifted that lesson to us to find really what we need. Because I mean, I truly believe in my heart, and I'm sorry if anybody is a supporter. I mean, you know, he is a person. So I mean, I'm not saying this out of anger and hate, just out of hurt for a lot of people, that he's hurt a lot of people by words. And then he's placed a lot of fear in people that people haven't had to feel for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't meant to win.
Mm.
And I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they really were to do this recount that is fighting, you would see he's not the winner. Because the angels show, and the angels, I tell you, it's not, when they give me a message, it's not 80%, it's not 90%. Now at my age, it's 100%. When they give me a message, and they gift me this message, and it was like big landslide. And so I was like,
yeah.
And everybody else was, but because it wasn't supposed to, because it's not fitting.
Yeah.
We've all made it. Some of us have made it through many presidents that might have been not our choice, mm-hmm. but you kind of like, okay, 4 years. This one has just been like,
yeah.
you know, like, what do we do? So what do we do is we all come together and place that out in the universe to keep, if we got to start small again, is it going to be just this town? Is it going to be this county? How about our state? You know, we got to just stand strong, and we got to come together and you know, come together and not allow people to be treated how they shouldn't be treated. Because, but I really feel there's something, there's still another shift with this, and I'm can't put my hands on it, but there's another shift with this.
I think so, yeah.
Totally.
And I don't even want to open, because I don't know if it means he's not going to be walking this earth, but there's a shift coming. And I keep hearing that. Every time I'll pull a card and it says, you know, in the coming months. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. But I really trust in those messages. So I just feel that if we just hang on together and support each other and just place out love, just blankets of love. And it's really hard for me because I can't fake it. You know, I mean... So when I'm told by the angels, put love around him, I'm like, and then it'll get easier, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, because you're right. It was not so much like when you think something awful might happen and then it happens. It was like more of a sense of just disbelief that it happened.
Yeah, I think that, I think yeah. a lot of us, some of us went to bed yeah, with yeah. some hope of a miracle when we wake up in the morning. I'm like,
exactly.
I'm not waiting to the very end. I'm just hoping for me. I woke up in the next yeah. morning and I'm like, yeah. okay, angels, tell me
yeah,
what happened. So there's something here.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to give a blessing to everybody and fear. So do you see how fear of even this, you know, and it, no matter what group I come up to, this fear of this election is real with everybody. And even those that say, well, I didn't want her, you know, and because a lot of people did say that, I want her, I don't want him. So it's like, but, you know, you got to understand sometimes when you go to that other party and vote, you know, if you really want to stand up, you got to choose. And I learned that through my culture of elections. They're never fluffy to go through election on a reservation because it's the same thing. It's the president of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the wrong person in there. And it just happened to us this year. In January, wrong people in there, and it's just been harsh. So this energy that just happened is like another layer of that. So let's just keep that love out there. So anybody that wants a personal little healing, just come to me after, but I'm gonna just kind of put a blanket healing around everyone.
Just have to. Is there? If I just.
No, I think you're fine.
Okay, I always usually come to the door, but this is really great smelling because a friend of mine grows this in his yard, and it's. Oh, it smells so good.
Creator, I thank you. I thank you for the beautiful people and all these healers gathered together. I thank you that you're here present. I thank you for the angels. I thank you for all the ascended masters and all my native guides. I thank you to my guide, White Cloud, for you're very present tonight, and I feel you. I feel you behind me, and I feel your power for all the individuals here. I give gratitude, Creator. I give gratitude that you brought the eagle medicine here. Thank you for the powerful, powerful eagle medicine for each and every one of us. I ask, Creator, I ask, and I just bow before you. I ask for the healing of fear. I ask that you surround each person here, and you just surround them and their families and their businesses and books that are writing and all the joys of life. That you surround that and take away any fear, so we can walk forward all together. I thank you for everything that you gift us on a daily basis. We thank you for all the miracles. We thank you for all the healers coming together. We bless all the lessons that 2016 has gifted us. We thank you for the release as we continue to walk towards the end of this month, that we just release anything and everything that no longer serves us. I ask, in this room, I feel there's some anger that needs to be healed. I ask, Creator, that you take that anger away. I ask that you take the fear away. I ask that you use your medicine and just take it all away. And in replace, I ask you replace it with just your bright white light. The white light to be able to light our path and light our heart and light any seeming darkness within us. I ask that we just all get together and we just send love out to this universe. Love and love and more love and kindness. In the highest good of each and every one of us. Oh. And oh, in my language, is like if you were saying amen. So I thank you. And again, if you want a little...
it started up again. So, wow. It just, you know, the sage, as many of you know, it'll just go and take away anything that doesn't serve us. And then, you know, the culture that we have is you always then just... kindly ask it. But then when you release it, you have to gift yourself the message of, I no longer need it. So when I release it, I need to release it. It would be like, I use this metaphor. I'm gonna burn no matter what. Like if you were to place
eternal flame.
Love it. If you were to put a letter in the mailbox, what do you do when you put a letter in the mailbox? You take it to the post office, you put it in the mailbox, and what do?
You let it go. You say goodbye.
Yeah. I always double check.
Just like in my deposit debate, right? Or you're like, okay, let me open it again because I don't see it. But after that, even the second time,
right.
What do you do?
Then you go.
So it would be like we'd put our letter in there and we'd walk and then we'd go, wait a minute. And we'd go take that 1 second look and then it's like, okay. But then you're not going to go and wait and go, I'm going to go back there and see if the mailman picked it up. And then you're not going to go to the house and wait for it. Did you get that mail? Did you get that mail? No. You have to have faith that it goes to where it needs to go. And the same thing with your healing. When you let it go, you may peek a second time, but you don't need to follow it and see. You have to have faith that something higher than you will assist you to release it. And I thank each and every one of you for this evening and for coming out in the rain. I learned to love the rain. I never did like the rain, and I love the rain now. So healing.
So go out and dance in it.
Thank you so much for bringing the powerful sage as well.